Maura. Can you hear us?
The intro there. I can hear you. Can you hear me?
No, I can't hear you. I hadn't got the headphones on. That's why.
Well, that helps, yeah, it does.
Yeah, it certainly does. Now, we were after doing a bit now about it. The fathers and mothers' time and maybe grandfathers and mothers' time and the experiences that you sort of pass on to the present generation. And, of course, we all had grandparents. Fathers and mothers and grandparents, the grandmas and grandpas and maybe granduncles and all sorts of things, a huge family circle. And I presume you're no different.
No, I had to have a mother and father or sure I wouldn't be here.
we're exploring just now for the last half hour the experience that the parents had on children. And what sort of knowledge they pass on to them, that are the values that would be they could use it in the present day, which would all sorts
well,
of things.
I think the last couple of days would have been right up parents and indeed grandparents' barrel, because I think the main thing in certainly my parents and my grandparents' day was you helped everyone and everyone knew everyone. And I think that came to fruition over the last couple of days, people helping people out and clearing driveways for people who couldn't do it and, you know, bringing in the odd bit of bread and milk and stuff.
If you could get it.
Yeah, if you could get it, yeah. No, like, times are very different. I mean, you know, when I was growing up in Clontarfna, my father was Oxman Town Road around that area, Cowtown as they call it.
Oh, yeah, it was up near the cattle market.
It was the cattle market and one of the great sayings was the kids would say to one of the farmers, like, hunt out those two cows there till I count them. But, like, the cattle roamed freely up and down the roads. You know, Tuesday night, Wednesday was cattle day, seemingly. And a lot of the houses along the North Cirque and, indeed, Manor Street, Oxmantown Road, Ockram Street, all around there, they would have regular lodgers, the farmers coming up from the country. And the cattle would be penned where there's apartments now. Opposite McKee Barracks there was the abattoir. And all around the North Circular Road, opposite the big houses from on Hanlon's Corner side, they would be filled with cattle and marched down to the boats on the Wednesday morning. So, but in times of trouble, like nobody in Clontarf closed their doors or anything. When I was growing up, people just came in and out. It was completely different from now, unfortunately.
There was a steady pace, a rhythm to life at that time. And everybody knew who everybody was. You went to your aunt on a Saturday or maybe a Sunday or whatever day it was. And you maybe went somewhere else on another day.
And we had picnics in St. Anne's, and you could still see the house from St. Anne's. Mm. But you thought you'd never get into St. Anne's for your picnic. Probably food that you wouldn't eat at home even, but it was picnic was great.
The sandwiches. Yeah.
Sorry, you're going on me.
Oh, yeah, I say the sandwiches.
Sandwiches, yeah.
Yeah.
But I remember my brother coming home to my mother at one stage. And he told us that Mrs. Lynch had given him lovely bread. So Mrs. Lynch was a Galway woman who did a lot of her own home baking. And my mother presumed it was some of her home-made bread until she was talking to her. And it was the same bread we were having, Johnson, Mooney and O'Brien, slice pan, only she cut it on the diagonal instead of straight across. That was much nicer. That was another big difference. I mean, my mother never called. I mean, they were always Mr. and Mrs. You know, you didn't call your neighbour by their first name.
Or John or Mary or whatever.
No, it was Mrs. Lynch and Mrs. Monks and Mrs. Guiney. Like, they were all... They never wouldn't have known their first names.
Yeah,
which is so completely different now.
Official titles, they were...
They were official titles, yeah.
And it could be someone with Esquire after it.
I don't think anyone was Esquire, but they had Mr. certainly. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes,
I remember the same Mr. Lynch he was a guard, and he was a lovely, lovely, quiet man. But I remember my mother saying something to my father one time, like, if you were in the guards, you'd have your uniform allowance and, you know, the usual this, that and the other. And he said, yeah, and you'd have potatoes in your garden instead of roses.
Yes.
Because all the guards were noted. They were great. They would have their vegetable patch and their homegrown vegetables. And but my father had roses and daffodils.
Yeah, you went in for flowers. Of course, now, we were just talking with Mike here earlier on, Mike Kelly, about something came around, and Johnson Mooney and O'Brien's came up in the conversation, and they, of course, were in Ball's Bridge. They're beside the Dollar. I think it's an apartment or a hotel or something now.
Probably is.
I haven't been down there in ages.
Everyone had, like, the bread man and the milkman and the vegetable man were the standard deliveries, and then they'd collect their money on a Saturday. And we were on a corner, and Eddie from Kilkenny was our bread man from Johnson Mooney's, and Patsy Kiernan, who's still well known around, does a lot of work up in Parnell Park, and he's not too well at the moment, so hope it's better soon. He was the milkman. And he was big into the GAA, and so was my father. So the three of them, you spend maybe an hour chatting on a Saturday, playing all the matches that were to come and that had come.
And
it was that laid back. There was no big rush on anyone.
And all the mistakes the referees made.
Ah, yeah. That's what they're for. But, they solved all the world's problems, but they were, the bread man, then the vegetable man. Paddy Cullen used to do the vegetables in Clontarf, and his son, Larry, is still delivering vegetables. And he took over the business, and it's still going, and he delivers vegetables to me here now.
Yeah, that's tradition as such, you know.
Yeah, and it's great. Like, if you're stuck for anything, you can just give Larry a buzz, and he'll be down with it.
Yeah, and of course, it's all fresh produce as such.
Oh, it is. Yeah, he goes into the market every morning.
Yeah.
I mean, you didn't buy. There was nothing in cellophane, but probably hadn't been invented.
We were talking about that. Tea came in by the ounce, or sugar came by the pound, and milk came by the pint or the litre or whatever, and everything was standardised.
But it was Wood Park Dairies then, where Vernon Heath is now, which is, for anyone who doesn't know Clontarf, it's next door to the medical centre on Vernon Avenue, just at St. Anne's there. And Wood Park Dairies were there, and if you're stuck for milk, you could go up with a container and they'd give you
the jug.
With a jug, yeah.
They'd
just give you the fresh milk, and it probably wasn't pasteurised, but it didn't do us any harm. You had Doherty's coal, so you had your coal delivered. And that would be delivered by the quarter ton. And that would see you through the winter.
Yeah, but the coal, of course, it meant that you had to clean out the grate every morning. And, of course, it was always the youngest person, well, not maybe the youngest, but the second youngest, that got the job to clean out that grate and make sure every bit is gone. And all them ashes.
They went on my father's roses, the ashes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But I remember when we were kids and Cassius Clay was fighting, and my dad and my brothers and myself, we'd get up. He'd have the fire banked down, the way they used to put slack on the fire. Mm-hmm. And we'd get up, and sure, it'd be 3 or 4 in the morning, because it'd be American time. And he'd rake up the fire. We wouldn't turn on the light, and we'd sit around the fire and listen on the radio to the Cassius Clay fights.
Yeah.
They were great.
Yeah, and he became Muhammad Ali after that.
Ali after that,
When he turned professional. And, of course, he became famous during the Olympics. I don't know which Olympics it was.
He would have been professional now when we were listening, because we wouldn't have known him before that. Because there was no telly or that.
Oh, no, the radio. Radio wearing.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And if you do want to sing, do sing an Irish song.
Yeah, I know. The Waltons, is it? No.
Yeah, that was the Waltons program.
Of course, there was the hospital's request. That was one of the first sponsored programs. And I think it was a fellow named Barsabel, if I'm not mistaken. Bart Barsabel, I think was his name, was the commentator. Yeah. And he had a real cultured voice. Of course, he didn't get onto radio unless you had a cultured voice.
You had to have your cultured voice.
Yes.
But a lot of the programs then you had Frankie, of course, Dear Frankie.
Oh, I think she used to make up that stuff herself somehow or another.
I don't think she did. I don't think you could have made up half the stuff she got.
I think the problem we have
today may not be your problem, but it could be tomorrow.
Oh, yes. I think she worked in Jacobs, if I'm not mistaken. The biscuit people.
It was Jacobs sponsored it, wasn't it?
Yeah, but I think she worked there as well. And well, it was harmless stuff, really, by today's standards.
Oh, God, yeah.
And, well, I presume she did solve some problems or other. And, it was
I'd say she did. Well,
yeah, and it was always...
People, there wasn't, you know... People who couldn't admit to having problems, I suppose. And she was a voice that was...
Yeah, be sent off down to the church, Solidarity or something, to sort that out.
Well, you went to Solidarity because there were fellas went. You didn't go for the church now, in fairness.
No. You're letting things slip.
We never knew that, sure.
No.
Oh, yeah, well, I'd say if you ask 90% of the... certainly... The kids going when was to see the fellas or the girls. It wasn't for the prayers, I must say.
And then you'd be hooshed off to confession on Saturday regularly, whether you needed to go or not.
Yeah. Well, we were on a Friday, the first Friday of the month, we went down to St. John's from Belgrove. And sure, it was great because you got an hour off school.
Yeah. Oh, the religious devotion is right.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And then
the other thing was...
I presume it was the nuns you went to.
No, I was in Belgrove, which is the national school here.
Oh, yeah.
And then I went up to Manor House up in Raheny.
Yeah.
It was a great... And it still is a great national school, Belgrove. But it's... it was... The whole school was contained, for anyone who knows Clontarf, the Clontarf GAA Club, that house... was the boys' and the girls' school. And the mixed classes until you made your communion, and then we were segregated.
Yeah.
But they'd have 60 in a class. I mean, it was fantastic how they managed to teach us anything.
Miss Cannon was the headmistress there, was she, when you were there?
Miss Cannon, and she was a great lady.
Yeah.
She was a divil, but she was a great lady. And she only died a couple of years ago.
Yeah, I know.
I always felt that she should have had a huge tribute paid to her by the church and the schools in Clontarf, and she went out very quietly.
She has a lot of accolades to her name, all right, because she was a great promoter of the Irish language, and
she actually brought out a lovely little geography book, and it was very small, about half the size of a copybook. And she had every county was listed, and the capital, and the river, and the mountains.
Oh, yeah.
And if there's anything special about it. And it was all Osceola, but it was so easy to learn. It was brilliant. We could do with it now.
When RTE opened up and they had these panel programmes, Miss Anya Ní Canán, she was actually on some of the, I suppose it would be like the gay born pro, well, I don't even know what the programme was, but it was one of these programmes where there was five or six of a panel, and you it was music in between, and you asked questions at the panel, but she was actually well enough known to be on that for years, you know.
Oh no, she was very well known. Yeah. She was a Mayo lady. She used to hang out there. I mean, she was a disciplinarian to her fingertips. But as one of the teachers down there explained to me years later, he was teaching my lads, in actual fact, and he hadn't been the nicest man in life when he was teaching my brothers. And I kind of asked him what had changed over the years. And he said, like, with 60 in the class, all you could do is discipline the class. You know, that was the way you controlled it. So with 30-odd in the class, it was heaven to him. He was able to teach as well.
Yeah, it was a tough job too, yeah. Because we were all little brats.
But there was a Mr. Millett as well down in Belgrove in the boys' school. And a lot of people would remember him. And he set up the choir in St. Gabriel's Church. He was the first choir master. And Anne O'Donovan was the first organist up there. But he left Belgrove and he went on to become a priest. And he's now the Monsignor out in Chippenham near Bristol in England.
Aye.
And he's still going strong and in great form.
Yeah, I remember we used to go down to the play or the musical that, and obviously Mr. Millett was the main brains and producer behind it in the school in Belgrove. A musical like it wasn't the Gondoliers or anything like that. They were usually very unusual ones you never heard of again since, but
yeah.
They were fantastic.
He would have written a lot of them himself, or the teachers.
Maybe that's it. Yeah.
But when I was there now in the girls' school, we would have been in what, fourth class probably, and we did the Fesh Matthew, and it was lashing rain, and we walked from the Father Matthew Hall up to Marion Row in our costumes.
Gee.
And we had sausage and chips there. And then we went down to the Mansion House and we did the Fesh Altry all in the one day.
Yeah.
The play was Curranna Mná Fasa. And we won both the Fesh Matthew and the Fesh Altry.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And I have the photographs to prove it.
And do you remember any of the teachers' names?
Oh, yeah. Oh, gosh, yeah.
Miss Griffin,
in
Miss
Belgrove,
Quinn.
I had Mrs. O'Boyle.
Oh, I miss
it. I had Miss Finnerty. I had Miss Fahy, who I didn't realise it went on to teach my daughter up. She left and went on to do secondary teaching and didn't realise it until my daughter had left Manor House that she actually taught my daughter up in Manor House.
Wow.
And then we had Miss Finnerty, who was a Galway lady, and we had Mrs. Healy, who was lovely and big into music, so that suited me big time, because I was into singing and that. And Mrs. O'Boyle was into music as well, so I got a very lucky run. The other teachers, there was Mrs. McCarthy, Mrs. Hughes, Mrs. O'Donovan, her daughter was in our class, so we all felt very sorry for the daughter because she could get away with nothing. Mrs. Hughes, Mrs. Byrne, yeah, I'd remember them all. Mrs. Barrett, whose daughter is living down on Dollymount Avenue. I had a great run of teachers. I had lovely teachers. Mm. And we did our gas company, held a baking competition every year. And you had to make scones. So we did our baking and that in the school as well. We had everything in it.
Very good, yeah.
And that would be domestic science, I presume it was called at that time.
I don't know why. That was just kukri class.
Kukri class.
Half the class did knitting and half the class did kukri, and then the next week you twisted it around because the kitchen wouldn't have been big enough to take us all.
Yes, and of course, these were preparing people for later on in life, like, you know, we were talking earlier on, the grandmother always knit the socks and the pullovers and particularly the gloves and maybe an odd scarf.
Well, those socks, I can tell you, learning to turn a heel on a sock was one of the most awful things you could ever do.
I never tried it. I wore plenty of them out,
oh,
all right.
Dreadful. You did it on four needles. It was a nightmare. And then you had to make an apron so you'd learn how to sew your hem, which I still use, and I still use my knitting skills, so it didn't go to waste.
And buttons, of course, had to be replaced regularly.
Oh, yeah.
Well, at least that was the easiest task. I even got around to doing that myself and stuck the needle in my finger several times. But,
Well, that's what you had a thimble for, so you wouldn't stick the needle in your finger.
But now these skills, like, they seem to be getting lost nowadays, you know. The snow now, this week, just a recent snow, maybe we might be getting some more. Hopefully we won't. They brought out all sorts of people could think back to their mother or father did. All sorts of things that, utility things that they could do. Like we were talking about making insulation for pipes or lead pipes and all bits and pieces.
Yeah. The old socks were great for that.
Yeah. They do anything.
Especially the old football socks.
Yeah. They were the right things, up to your knees. Of course, if you were in a football club, they might have only one ball. And they were big leather things, and if they got wet, they would have weighed a ton weight.
Yeah.
They were all sold at the corners.
And they all had to be pumped up on a Friday night for matches on Saturday.
That's true, yeah.
And the boots themselves now, the one pair of boots might be three players might be using them at the one pair of boots, but all that days with instant, availability, anything you want. And of course, the telephones and the telephones. You have to ring the operator and get your call put in if you were going down the country, particularly. Or you had to.
My cousin actually was in the States. He got an athletic scholarship. He was one of the first from Rohini Shamrocks to get a scholarship across to the States.
Mm-hmm.
And my uncle used to have to book a call. He couldn't get home for Christmas, it was too expensive. So they would book a call for a certain time to get a call to him at Christmas. He did come home eventually. You just couldn't ring the States, or you couldn't, as you say, you couldn't even ring down the country. You'd have to go through the country operator, who no doubt listened in to see who was ringing from Dublin.
Well, that local post office, usually the girl in it, she'd be doing everything else, selling stamps, and she would put them through the local post office.
The down the country, the post offices were part of, well, they were probably the same here. They'd be part of the grocery shop, and you'd go in and everything was done in the one place.
Yeah, maybe the pub is in the back. If it was a grocery.
Oh, yeah, well, this is essential, yeah.
Well, they were essential, and of course, it was all Guinness. Never heard of anything else but Guinness. Bottles of Guinness, you know. And if you ask for bottles of Guinness...
It would never have been a drink of mine, I can tell you.
No, and it'd be cordial, would it? What you got?
Soda and lime. Soda and lime was my drink.
Things were different. The men went to the pub on a Saturday night. It's sort of a ritual. He'd be seeing his friends there and getting all the local gossip or whatever.
It was the entertainment. Like in Dublin, at least we had cinemas and that. But I used to go down to cousins of my grandmother's down in Donaghadee in Kildare. And the shopping was done in Kilcock, which was a 6 mile cycle away. And if they wanted to go to the Flicks, it was Naas, which was 10 miles.
Mm-hmm.
The pub was the hub of their social life.
And of course, a lot of
they
business
didn't have
was
anything.
Done there. Yeah, a lot of business was done there, too. Local business.
They couldn't hop on a bus and go into town to the Flicks.
No.
Although the Fairview was great.
There was actually 15 cinemas in Dublin, believe it or not.
And, you serious, yeah?
Yeah, 15 cinemas in Dublin, yeah.
A gang of us used to meet. We'd meet on in the morning, get the 6 o'clock train out to Donabate, to Lamb's, Lamb Brothers, who made the jams.
Oh, yes,
and we'd pick fruit
all
day, and then a Saturday... the Saturday we'd all head up to the Killer Cinema.
Cholester.
With what money we had earned.
It was hard-earned money, I can tell you that. Fruit
it
fees.
Was, especially when you had to go home and give it up. You gave it up when you got home. So you got the money for the flicks then on a Saturday or Sunday night. Yeah. That was it.
It wasn't a fourpenny rush.
Sure did it. I know, it wasn't a fourpenny rush. It was more than that now.
Yeah. It was sixpence.
And then where Super Quinn is, of course, was Sutton Cinema.
Yeah, I remember that, yes.
Yeah, that was Sutton. And
yeah.
So that was Cholester, Fairview and Sutton. They were three cinemas in the locality.
And they nearly all ended up in supermarkets.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, but the cinema at that time, of course, Hollywood churned out some diabolical rubbish, but every now and then a classic would come along and they'd be talking about it and, like, Gone with the Wind and all this, and it'd be running for about 7 weeks or 8 weeks and that type of thing. But yeah, television was something in
and
the future.
Then the surround sound came in, and that was magic.
Cinerama.
Oh, yes.
Cinerama.
Yeah. And,
Cinerama, that's what, yeah.
I remember that. I remember going to a cinema.
You could feel you were part of the film.
I think it was actually a school trip that we were brought to Cinerama, How the West Was Won or something like that. It was, and you were warned beforehand. Yeah. Now you're not.
Well, I was, because I was in Belgrove, I was brought to Misha'era.
Oh, wonderful.
Oh, yeah. what was the man that produced the music for that? O'Riordan. Yes.
John O'Riordan, yeah.
Yeah, and that, of course, it was in Irish, Misha'era.
It was?
Yeah, in Irish.
Yeah.
But the music
of it is fabulous.
Yeah.
It's still played a lot.
Sean O'Riordan music. Sean O'Riordan music was that for Misha'era.
Gordon. Yeah. Gay Lynn actually produced that, and how they got all the old, all the old photographs and all the... there must have been the archives, the stuff they must have got out of the archives was fabulous. And of course, now it was nearly all digitalised now. It was all celluloid at that time. And,
but there's an awful lot of stuff was lost too, which is an awful pity.
Yeah, yeah. A huge amount of stuff was lost because the celluloid didn't keep it all. And if it got damp, apparently it was gone, you know.
Well, that's one good thing about today's technology. Anything that needs to be kept can be kept.
And, and it's be there forever. Well, we think it to be there forever. but the digital age, you know, like, it hasn't caught up with me yet. I'm still with Pigeon Post.
There's nothing as nice as getting a decent letter now through the post.
Oh yes, but nobody sends posters. They text you now with a foreign language.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that was another great hobby, was stamp collecting.
Oh well, here's the man here that does all that. He puts all the exhibitions together and all that type.
Still have my stamp collection, and I'd love to have somebody to have a look at my stamps.
I have
stamps from the Gold Coast and Ceylon and places that are no longer in existence.
Very good, yeah.
They're certainly under different names.
And I bet you were very good at geography because of stamp collecting. You knew where all the countries were and what the capitals were
absolutely.
And the postmarks. Yeah.
But I'd love someone to have a look at my collection to see if there's anything worthwhile in it.
Oh, well, listen, it's a pity you're not up with us here today. If you had brought it now, we could do an evaluation for you on the spot. Yeah, no problem. We do that. Well,
I'll bring it in with me tomorrow.
Well, I tell you what, there is a show coming up in the RDS on Sunday, the 8th of April. It's the Spring Stamp and Coin Fair. It's one of the big shows, and that would be well worth you bringing it in there, because all the top auction houses and stamp dealers and collectors will be there, and you'll be able to get an evaluation there. And if it's worth something, you might be able to sell it or put it into one of the auctions.
Well, Maura, that's a date you should remember. What's the date?
Sunday,
again?
The 8th of April.
Well, unfortunately, now I am, it just happens to be the one Sunday. I never do anything on a Sunday, but I am tied up. We have a rehearsal for a concert
that
Sunday.
Right.
But I might get one of the lads to bring it in.
Two.
And ask for Mike Kelly.
Mike Kelly in.
He's the guy that runs it all. and he's sitting here beside Michael phone beside me.
Yeah, we're in there doing free valuations. It's like an antiques roadshow. People can bring in any collectible at all and get it valued, you know.
Maura,
I'm a load of stuff from my grandmother's.
Maura, I'm afraid we just run out of time. They're banging on the window here. And,
well, you better do what you're told.
Yeah, and we come back to you again, Maura. Maybe you'd like to come down to the studio and we'll get some like-minded people of approximately the same age to talk about
21 and a bit.
We just add on the bits. We get all the little bits together, right?
And, the bits are our own business.
Yeah, and then we can have a right go at everything. And, we put that into the archives. And we may, I don't know whether you can digitalise talk, but I presume you can. We leave it in
the archives. I'm sure they can. Yeah. Somebody in there will know how to do it.
Yeah. Okay, Maura, thanks very much for coming on at short notice.
And
we'll be back with you again.
Right. Okay, right.
Bye.
Bye.